Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, this is the fourth DesignFootball.com podcast, Football Kits In It. This is a special review of 2015 edition. Sure to neglect to mention some of the biggest stories of the year we're exiting. Ideal for looking back with rose-tinted spectacles, I'm joined by the joint king of nostalgia, Chris Oakley, erstwhile Football Attic blogger. Hi Chris, how are you?
Hi Jay, I'm very good. Thank you very much. Thanks for inviting me onto your podcast.
Have you had a good 2015?
It's been pretty good, thanks. Yes, yeah. For those who don't know, I live in New Zealand these days. I moved to New Zealand a few years ago, so kind of life takes a gentler pace, I would say, than it used to. But that's no bad thing. And it's been a good year. So where has the time gone? It's nearly over already.
That was a dangerous question for me to ask, so I'm glad you have had a
very good 2015. Well, the divorce was only slightly painful. And
Indeed. On the subject of, let's go straight into it, on the subject of football design, what is your favourite shirt or kit of 2015?
The first thing I had to try and do as a West Ham supporter, the first thing I had to try and do was to find an alternative answer to the West Ham home kit and home shirt, because when it came out, it was I was incredibly pleased with it. But I thought that's going to be too easy an answer as a West Ham fan, just to say West Ham to whatever the question was. And sort of having a look at other kits and shirts that are around, there are a fair few good ones. Strangely enough, South American ones, which my focus doesn't tend to be on South American kits, but a couple that caught my eye not so recently that have been launched for the current season, Independiente, a Puma shirt that they've released, which has got kind of red diagonal shadow bands. Looks terrific, which I thought was wonderful, and a great old club, Independiente. I thought they'd done a really good job of making good use of the red, which is what obviously they wear. Vasco da Gama's shirt by Umbro, a perfect example of how you do a diagonal sash. They just got it spot on. Beautiful, understated styling. Hibernian, their sort of pine green this season, which I thought looked terrific. So good job by Nike. But ultimately, I have to come back to West Ham. It was just, we all know, as supporters of our own favourite, you know, clubs, there's that point seemingly every season when you go online and you see the headline, insert club name here, launch new kit for next season, and you kind of, there's that moment you think, oh God, please don't let this be embarrassing, because you know people are going to sort of point at you and laugh if your team's new kit is wrong in some way, if it's just badly designed, and I just thought, oh, please let this be good. We knew beforehand that it was going to be Umbro taking over from Adidas, and that was wonderful. I thought that was fantastic. Not that Adidas did a particularly bad job over the last couple of seasons for West Ham, did some nice designs and everything, but Umbro, I thought this is going to be good. And of course, it was going to be a design for the last season for West Ham at Upton Park / the Boleyn Ground. And when it came out, I was just—it was amazing, because the comments that were coming back from everyone, just saying how much they thought it was a terrific design. And I can't remember the last time I ever experienced that. And for it to be my club, my team, I just felt incredibly proud that we'd ended up with a kit that was, well, I wouldn't say universally appreciated, but the fact that it was so well liked and admired by so many people. So I just want to say thank you, Umbro. You've done a terrific job, and the kit looks tremendous. And so I would have to go for the West Ham kit. I know it's perhaps a predictable answer, but believe me, I tried to pick somebody else's shirt or somebody else's kit. There were a few good ones there, as I mentioned, but the West Ham kit was just wonderful, and it looks great.
Yeah, it does. And the thing with Umbro is that they're back. I don't know if they're back to their best, but they do well. Is that they take a shirt and they seem to deliver the simplest idea brilliantly. So you tend not to look at Umbro shirts and go, how did they come up with that? That's so inventive. What they actually do is say, what's the best way this shirt could look? And that's sometimes very obvious. And then they do it and they deliver it perfectly. And that is something that's happened with the West Ham shirt. Close up, not as impressed. Like on the sleeve, the Umbro logo or Umbro word mark on the sleeves is printed on. It looks a bit cheap, as does the little bit of script underneath the crest.
Yep.
But that's a minor detail, really. Overall, it's a great shirt. And it's good to see Umbro doing well after being divested by Nike.
Absolutely, yeah. And I mean, I just want to say, I mean, not even though Umbro are, I think, definitely getting back to their best, the way things are going, their kits and their designs aren't perfect. You can see on other kits, there's one or two things you kind of go, not sure that's great. So they're by no means sort of operating at this kind of brilliant level, like perfect level, where everything they do is strikes gold. But with most of what they've done, that West Ham kit, I would say it's just delightful. They've just captured the essence of really what a West Ham shirt, if not the whole kit, should be like. And just more than happy with that. I tell you, that's going to take some beating to do better than that in coming seasons.
Yeah, the Umbro are doing well in South America, as you mentioned as well. Vasco da Gama, they've made some brilliant kits over the last few years. There was a black one with a gold sash a few years ago, which was great. When especially their standing in Europe was not great at the time, Umbro, and they were still managing to give us these great kits in South and Central America, I think. So they've had a good year, Umbro. One thing I would say about Umbro, there's a short style that I've noticed this year, and Puma have done it, and Umbro have done it in a way as well, but in a different way. So if you look at the Arsenal kit, Arsenal wear their red shirt, if it's untucked, has got a white panel at the bottom, which makes the Arsenal home shirt looks like it's tucked in when it's hanging out, which is a nice touch. And Arsenal like the uniformity of look and so on, so players can have the shirt tucked in or hanging out, and it will look like they've got their shirt tucked in. Umbro with Everton have done the opposite, so the top part of the shorts. Everton home shorts in white is in blue, so it looks, even if you tuck your shirt in, it looks like you're slovenly, which you wouldn't expect from Umbro. You would expect a better standard.
Yeah.
I'm sure Scott Parker must be very, very disappointed in them. That's the only other observation I'd have about them. Generally, you would have Umbro as the top dogs in terms of manufacturers. We would, definitely. Yeah. Not necessarily in sales and widespread appeal, but people generally, in a widespread sense, are morons, but we know what we're talking about. So
we
would usually put Umbro ahead, but I'm thinking Adidas. What do you think? With what's happening in recent weeks, where would you put Adidas compared with Umbro at the minute?
Ooh, they're right up there. I mean, Adidas, they've always got that real bedrock of quality in everything they do. However, what I've found particularly over the last few years with Adidas, is that they just can't resist tinkering with detail. And I mean, some of their kits are just fantastic. Some of them are just, I can't help sort of feeling they could have just left it alone, looking a lot sort of simpler, leaving the overall design looking a lot simpler, but they could have put in a few extra bits and pieces here and there. I think their kits that they've done for Euro 2016, which I know you've already discussed on this podcast, John Devlin, look, just, they are really showing Adidas at you know, at their best in many ways. I mean, there's some fantastic Adidas kits coming up for Euro 2016. As far as the sort of club kits that we're sort of seeing, they're fine. And I would say they're up there with Umbro, and commercially they're always going to be attractive, and there's lots of aspects to their designs that they're coming out with at the moment which are very appealing. But I always sort of feel with Adidas that there's room, there's still room that they could have, you know, room for improvement in a lot of the kits that they're producing. But you can't deny that there's a lot of quality to what they're doing, and I think they've gone beyond the. There was a period they had a few years ago where I just felt that they were really just sort of turning the hand. It's like turning the handle on the sausage machine. They were just sort of churning out another kit that looks, you know, not particularly interesting, not particularly creative. I may be kind of speaking only for myself here, but I just found that there was a. They went through a period where they were looking a bit stale, and I think they've kind of progressed a little bit beyond that, and they're now starting to pull it together a bit more. But I'm really looking forward to Euro 2016 just to see the Adidas kits, because some of the away kits that some of the countries are going to be wearing, I'm not so sure about. But the home kits, generally speaking, I think look terrific.
Yeah, there is a contrast this year from Adidas's 2014 to 2015 range and what will be. 2015 to 2016 range, which say includes the Manchester United kit, which is so-so, and then the 2016 to 2017 range, which also includes the Euro 2016 kits, which are, they're always sort of launched, but really it's stuff for the following season. So you'll see the new Chelsea kits and so on will ape some of the kits for Euro 2016.
Sure.
There's a contrast between the two because. They've shifted the stripes down the side, there is a lift in the quality as far as I can see. So you've now got jacquard patterns, which we haven't really seen recently. So it's in the weave of the shirt is the actual watermark pattern. You've got embroidered details. Everything just seems a little bit better from Adidas. A lot more quality, a little bit more expensive to produce. There are misses. So for example, we didn't talk about the Wales kits, which has been brought to my attention on the podcast with John Devlin. We didn't because that Wales shirt is, I think, phoned in, doesn't even cover it. It's so boring and it is almost identical. And I hate to be the person who does this, but it's almost identical to the first Adidas Wales kit from, so two kits back, I think.
I'm inclined to agree.
Yeah, so I'm not particularly impressed with that. The away is not great either. And it's still got the Adidas stripes down the sleeve. So I don't think it warrants a mention if you don't even get the Adidas stripes down the side of the shirt. I think,
I have to say, just on that point about the stripes down the side, I mean, that's just... I love that whole motif that Adidas have done with that. It does... It's a lot of people have picked out that there is a similarity with the Man United kit that they had in about 1981. Might have been the first Adidas kit that they did for Manchester United, and it's not that well known, that particular one from the early 80s, and so it's nice that they're sort of paying homage, as if to sort of have a second go at trying to kind of put it out there and show people how good it can look, and obviously it's done in a more modern sort of way, but I think it looks terrific, but the Wales. Yeah, the Wales. I didn't care much for the Wales home shirt with the green sort of stripes and the trim on. I just found that the green didn't really stand out enough from the red. Worthwhile trying, definitely, but it just didn't quite work for me. So I kind of prefer Wales shirts to be red with white trim. But I couldn't agree more. There's nothing there to kind of go, well, so what are we supposed to get excited about, really? Shame, and the away kit, the black and grey, where it's charcoal and two tone grey, it's not really doing anything for me. I'm afraid it looks like a sort of off the shelf option. Really, sorry to say. I find interesting actually looking back over the sort of kits that we've been seeing, certainly, shall we say, at club level over the last few years, is I've been trying to determine whether there's a pattern. That's emerging with regards to accent colours. Okay, so this kind of ties in with Wales in a way. I mean, the whole thing of, you know, having green trim on a red shirt it was kind of a new idea for Adidas, and they tried it. It's debatable whether it worked or not. Personally, I don't think it did, but it was worthwhile trying. Now, and they've gone back to white, which I think works better for Wales. But I've been looking at sort of club shirts and things, and looking at how certain clubs are seemingly only too happy to try out an accent colour to go with the two main ones, if that's the case, that they already have. And I don't know, I just don't think there's a pattern there. I just think certain clubs like to use a third accent colour every so often, and some clubs just completely steer clear of it, really. I'm not quite sure what that's about, but in the case of Wales, I think they'll probably stick with red and white for a while now. That whether they'll try, say, red and yellow or something in the future or not, I don't know, but it's just but it's, yeah, as I say, an interesting experiment, really, if you can call it that. And it's just a shame that in going back to red with white trim, they've just effectively, I don't know, photocopied the design they had a few years ago.
Yeah, they are similar. And Wales did have, the last Wales away kit, I think, was yellow with red, which is similar to last season's Liverpool away shirt. And it that works as a combination. They've had a red and yellow Umbro home shirt in recent seasons, maybe. I might be mistaken, but I seem to remember there being a red and yellow home kit as well, maybe, as well. But I could be wrong, but we'll check through that. The other thing that Adidas have changed, and this will come take us on to talking about some other things as well, is there was a strip that they put for the last World Cup. There was a strip that they put high up on the back of the shirts, like a curved stripe.
Yeah,
and it was a feature of that, of their templates around that time, and there was a lot of kits that had it. Well, virtually all of the bespoke kits had it, and no one really knew what it was there for. Now, it turns out, and I'm pretty sure this is correct, but they won't publicise this, that was meant to hold sort of wearable tech. So heart monitors and all that kind of stuff was meant to be in there. So position on the field, trackers, and all that kind of stuff that is meant to be a big deal, but no one's actually doing it, apart from Wycombe Wanderers did it this year, I think. And it was quite controversial. The opposition manager said that players could hurt themselves if they hit the big block that they were carrying on the back of their shirts or something. And England wore it in the Rugby World Cup as well. So that was something that was supposed to come in for those Adidas shirts. It's obviously gone now, that strip. So we'll have to wait and see whether it comes in, because it was Under Armour were meant to do this a couple of seasons ago, include all this tracking stuff, which they have in training anyway, but FIFA said no, you can't do it, and we want to standardize it to say what are the rules. But apparently those rules have been relaxed now, so teams can do it, but as far as I know, Wycombe Wanderers is the only team to do it. We'll look out for it and see what happens, but it's quite interesting. Moving on to other manufacturers, and we'll get to Nike in a second, but the Americans, so New Balance, what is now New Balance, it was Warrior, but now they've rebranded as New Balance, and they were just finding their feet, Warrior. It's a little bit of a shame, but New Balance has given us the new Liverpool kits and the Celtic kits, which are quite nice. They work quite well. So reasonably happy with that development. The other thing is Under Armour, which we've mentioned, and they're making okay kits, I suppose. They've had a good year. 2015, the Spurs kits have worked out okay. Nike, obviously, the daddies. The big thing for me, for them, is that we haven't had an England kit this year. Did you notice that?
I towards the end of the year I did, yeah, but one thing actually, just briefly going back to clubs again, is that I didn't really for some reason realise that until recently that there's in the Premier League there's only one Nike kit. So clearly they've sort of they're having a gap year one way or the other. But no England kit, and that did very briefly flash through my mind maybe a couple of months ago. I thought, yeah, haven't we forgotten something? But I guess it'll be all the surprise will be all the greater when it comes around. I'm not sure exactly when it's sort of due to be launched. Are there leaked images, I understand, of the new England kit? Is that right?
There are, yeah. Probably are believable. We've seen two. We've seen one that looked a little bit like the away looked very nice. It looked like the First Admiral England kits. The red, remember the red one, the first one that they did in the late 70s. That one, but that, I don't think that's correct. I think that's that is actually a fake. We've seen some new leaked images now, and it's interesting. But I don't want to talk about that too much, because I think we'll deal with that when it's properly launched. Because obviously we could, if this was happening a few days earlier, we could have talked about the first leaked images, which are now proven to be false. So I think I'd sooner wait until we're sure of what it is. But I will say that those latest leaked images, I'm very excited about. It looks very, very interesting. I'm very interested in the colourway of the shorts, maybe, let's say. But we'll leave that there. Nike. Strange, isn't it? No England kits this year, which is, you wouldn't expect it from them. You'd expect John actually said that it seemed that Nike were going for a 2 year cycle on kits, which it may be admirable. But I
might be misjudged as well, for all we know.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what the reasons are, but maybe it's loyalty. I don't know, or maybe the, I don't know. I don't know how the money works, but I would sooner see the more kits released more often. But yeah, we'll look forward to the kits next year. Then the Nike Euro 2016 kits will all be next year, so that's something to look forward to. Any other manufacturing type things that you've noticed, or trends, or anything like that?
Well, just the whole sort of retro thing obviously has been around for a little while now. I mean, again, sort of taking the last few seasons as a broad sample here. I mean, what I find interesting is that lots of clubs are doing, in England at least, are going for the retro approach. But what I find really interesting is that they're not going for one particular era. Everyone's trying to kind of grab a little bit of the past, but they're going for all manner of different periods. So you've got, like, for instance, last season, West Ham, again, going back to West Ham, they had a kit that was like the one they had, I think it was from something like 85 to 87, with the horizontal pinstripes. So that was kind of, that's your mid-80s kind of nostalgia. You've got Blackburn, I think last season, we had pale blue and white halves, which takes you back to the 1880s, for crying out loud. There's retro for you. That's vintage retro. You have Birmingham, I think a season or two ago, had the penguin kit, which is classic early 70s. Aston Villa, I think a couple of seasons ago, had the broad stripe down the middle, like their 81-82 sort of season kit by Le Coq Sportif, and then followed that up the next season with the pinstripes on their kit, which is sort of early 80s as well. Adidas's kits, in many cases, have got pinstripes. So everyone's trying to kind of do the retro. Well, not everybody, but lots of clubs are sort of trying to do the retro thing. And I just wonder kind of how long that can go on for. It's the classic thing. I think our mutual friend Rich Johnson, who helped us out with the 50 greatest football shirts thing we did in the latter part of 2015, pretty much said the same thing, which is, once you've been doing retro designs for a while, you reach a point where there's nothing left. And what do you do then? You know, do you kind of do you then go back to your first retro reference and do the whole thing all over again, or do you create maybe a retro reference that never actually existed, and you sort of go with a sort of almost a false kind of history and in some way in your design, and trying to maybe in the nicest possible way pull the wool over people's eyes and try and sort of say, this is one of our old kits, and then you kind of, on further inspection, you actually see that it wasn't but still trying to get the essence of retro. So I just kind of wonder how much longer the whole retro thing will go for. I've never been entirely convinced about the modern preoccupation with pinstripes. I used to love pinstripes back in the early 80s when they first came out. But I don't know. I find it just doesn't quite have the same punch about it in the modern era as they used to. But I mean, clearly a lot of people like them, because that's why Adidas have really sort of put their full weight behind pinstripe designs on the shirts. But so I think I can see the retro thing going on for a bit longer. It's been around for a while, and somebody will find new new aspects of old designs to go for. I think like the Admiral kits you used to have in the 70s used to have very detailed winged collars and things. Now, I think Macron have tried to kind of tap into that. They've put a lot. If anybody's going for the more detailed approach as opposed to the simpler approach, it's probably Macron. They have a lot of piping and things on shorts and whatever. But I feel that they're the only ones that are really trying to make a stab at that, and everyone's kind of just paring down these days. I think that's a sort of cyclic thing. I'm wondering whether in the next few years that will sort of turn on its head again, and we'll go back to having more detailed, dare I say, wacky designs, a bit like we had in the 90s. But that's kind of pure speculation on my part. I don't know. But and the only other thing really that I'm sort of pondering on is, I wonder if more clubs are throwing themselves open for changing the whole format of their kit, in the sense of not sticking, say, with stripes or plain shirts. You got teams like Middlesbrough, who every season they just seem to be changing from, you know, a yoke on their shirt, so then they'll go to a diagonal sash, and then they'll go to a plain shirt, and then they'll go to something else. And I wonder if more clubs might sort of go, yeah, we'll have some of that. Why should we sort of stick with what we've had for a while? And that, whether there'll be more diversification on that front. I don't know what you feel about that.
Yeah, three excellent points there, Chris. And it's immediately I'm thinking, why haven't I thought of any of these things, pointing these things out to me? The point about retro kits, I never even probably considered. But you do get a mishmash because so many teams release these retro kits. You get a mishmash of sort of different periods of time all in the same season.
Yes,
so you don't really know where you are, which is, especially with so many teams doing looking back at one way or another. I suppose they're going to every few years they're going to look back and I don't know, everything is influenced from the past. But yeah, it will have a kind of a messy effect as well. Hadn't really thought of that. The pinstripe thing, I wonder if it's down to the amount of other embellishment a football shirt has on it now. Also, it has Adidas stripes. It has maybe the different panels and so on, which is all starting to come back, creep back in. Umbro got rid of it, and now it's all creeping back in again. If you then throw on pinstripes as well, pinstripes is a very simple and dated element that you can add to a shirt. Obviously, it harks back to the suits or whatever else, but that would be the only embellishment, and that would be something that draws the eye with a sponsor and badges and all the everything else that you've got in a football shirt. If you've got pinstripes on there, it looks a little bit out of place, so I could see where you'd have a problem with it. Sorry, what was the last point you made there?
Oh, just about sort of what I call sort of a format change. I was going from stripes to plain to this to that.
That's a great point as well. And you do see a lot of teams do that. Middlesbrough, like you say, that you think of them as having that central band, but they've had like a sash shirt recently as well. And they're doing different things with it. And we're seeing that in international kits, particularly with the changing of the shorts and the socks colours. So the classic kit is being tossed aside and they're wearing different elements. But yeah, fascinating and great observations. There is certainly a trend for people to mix it up like that, to say, okay, we're going to do something completely new next season, which is quite exciting for me. But the other thing I've noticed recently is there being an agenda in the kits that release, whether it's home kit or away kit. There seems to be an ulterior motive, so it's sort of tapping into a mindset of the supporter base. So one example is Cardiff, who went to red, and now they've gone back to blue again. So they went to red because they were looking to their supporter base that they imagined they had in Asia, and then went back to blue because they realised we've got a real supporter base who wants us to wear blue. So that was one development. It's a little while ago now, but when there was the Scottish independence vote, Celtic and Rangers both released what I would consider politically charged shirts. So Celtic had a tartan away kit, so that sends a message of nationalism, I would have thought. Rangers had a red away shirt, which was basically a Union Jack, which was a lovely one. It's always nice when they do that. So that was the two sides of that debate, and and in the run up to the Scottish independence vote, there was very, very open campaigning outside Ibrox, for example, for the no vote, and Celtic never really. Celtic, I don't think the club certainly picked a side, and the support base didn't really either, because a lot of Celtic fans who certainly wouldn't consider themselves unionist actually went with the idea that if it was left in the hands of the Scottish, there is so much bias in Scottish politics that they'd get that. Without getting too political, Irish immigrants and Scottish Catholics might get a raw deal.
Yeah.
because of the way the Scottish political system is made up. So fascinating, but you saw it in the football kits, is the point I'm making.
And also, I mean, just to sort of throw in an extra point, then you come back to the whole thing about kits being designed maybe a couple of years in advance. So you're thinking kind of, could they have actually kind of specifically foreseen that something was going to happen at that? I suppose that almost they would have said there's going to be an independence vote. A referendum on these things. So, yeah. But I just kind of wondered to what extent, how far ahead they could have maybe planned for that. Is it coincidence, or?
I don't think it is. I can't imagine. Those kits were... They really shouted. The Celtic kit really shouted yes, and the Rangers kit really, really shouted no. And that is their ongoing stance to a certain extent. Certainly with Rangers, they're regarded, generally speaking, as a unionist club. I think they fly the Union Jack at the ground, and Celtic, if they're nationalist, it's more to do with sort of Irish nationalism, generally speaking. But for them to release a tartan kit at that time, and they would have known the vote was coming, I don't know. I would say so. I would be disappointed in both sets of designers if they did that completely oblivious to the fact that it was going to coincide with a vote on independence. But
sure, yeah.
And I don't know. And then you got
the national team kit that which has got a tartan shadow pattern as well, just to kind of add a little bit of extra complicated detail into the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what pans out in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't. There were two around that time. I mean, tartan had gone away, I think, from the Scotland kit for a long, long time, but they brought it back with the kit that's now outgoing. And they've continued it with the one that's come in to replace it. So tartan's definitely back in fashion. And I think Scottish nationalism is certainly back in fashion. So it does tie in with what's going on, the mood of the nation, let's say. Mm-hmm. The other team that did it is Barcelona. So a couple of years ago, they released an away shirt which was in the colours. At the time, it was regarded as Senyera, which is the Catalan sort of
flag.
Yeah, the regional flag. So
yeah.
Regarding it as a region of Spain. Well, now they've done it again, but they've released it with blue shorts. And the blue shorts, for me, says the Estelada flag, which is a flag of Catalan independence. So that's a shift, far more political shift in the latest version that they've released, which again ties in with what's going on in Spain, because it's looking closer and closer to their being Catalan independence there. The other thing was the Bolivia thing. Did you hear about this?
I did. I was aware of it when it happened, when that whole incident occurred. It was, I mean, absolutely remarkable. Yeah. but go on. Yes.
So there's a guy who's very noted in the world of fantasy kit designs, if that is a world.
Maybe a little bit, let's say community.
A guy called Angelo Troffa, and he posts on our website as Amadeus Angelio, I think. So you can check out his work. It's fantastic work, and he's preempted so many design changes, things like the pocket that appeared on the shirts a few seasons ago. So there was the manufacturer's logo was appearing on a pocket. That was something he did first. Lots of ideas that he sort of prophesied, which is brilliant, and he's fantastic. The presentation is wonderful, and he releases a book each year, or he's released a few books, and the fourth one came out in 2015, which is Kit Concepts, I think. So Kit Concepts Volume 4 is out now. Something he did earlier this year was he designed, and it had been done before, other people had done it on Design Football, he designed a Bolivia kit, which was based on the Wipala or Wifala flag,
mm-hmm. yep.
which is a flag which is held dear, let's say, by people of the Andes, so various yes. groups, and basically indigenous people. Yeah.
Yeah.
So indigenous people of Bolivia. And it is now an official flag of Bolivia as well. So he designs this kit, puts it on the internet, Bolivia Away kit, which has the pattern of the Wipala, I don't know, one of the two, that flag. And he received quite a lot of abuse from people from... Bolivia, which surprised me. I don't really know the politics, but I was quite surprised by it, and it became quite a big news story.
That's right. I mean, I found the, I think I found the guy's Facebook page earlier on, and just to sort of just to tap into kind of the comments that you're getting, and to be honest, a lot of the comments I was reading were people sort of saying, actually, it's a really nice kit, which was quite reassuring that there were some people seeing it in the right way. I think there was even one comment from a guy who took a very interesting approach by basically sort of saying, look, this is a work of art, so therefore you either like it or you don't, based on that whole premise. There's no kind of, I don't like it because, it's just, do you like this as a work of art or don't you? And which I thought was kind of an interesting angle to approach it from. But yeah, people basically sort of thinking that suddenly, you know, Bolivia were going to walk out in that kit for, you know, some match coming up soon, which they felt extremely threatened by. But I just find it fascinating how that let's use that word again, the community that can create something like this, a very nice design, can suddenly cross the line and be absorbed into, you know, everyday life and be in the news and to be suddenly what should we say, just people can then suddenly sort of take it as being a potentially a very real thing that could happen, and they then give their opinions on it. And I don't recall that happening very much in the past. And maybe you know better than me of such a thing possibly happening. But yeah, it just sort of crossed the line and became part of the real world suddenly. It's just amazing. But to get so much abuse was awful. And I don't quite know how he dealt with it. But
yeah, I think he was accused of being. Well, he was informed that the flag was racist. Well, I'm not sure whether it is. He was also
white people who are racist, probably.
Well, yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? But there's this. Oh, I'm not going to go into it too much because I don't know the history. But and neither did he. Even though he'd visited there and so on, it wasn't irresponsible of him to do it. It's an official flag of the country. So of course, if you're not from that country, you're going to take on things that are official and say, okay, well, that can be included, official emblems and so on. Well, that could go into it. So the abuse was wrong. And one person called him a Nazi, I think, which maybe gone a little bit overboard there.
Yeah.
I mean, what goes on the website does sometimes stray into the real world. I mentioned to Martin the other day that, Martin is Martin Leroy, who was on the podcast the other day. Mm-hmm. He's had kits made into like Kilmarnock Warriors kit and so on, and earlier this year Jamaica wore a kit that was designed by one of the members of the website. So that's all great stuff, but I suppose you take the rough with the smooth. So sometimes things aren't going to get a positive response in getting made into real kits. They're in fact going to be the subject of either derision, which is generally the way, or downright anger. That kit has actually been made. I'm looking through pictures and I haven't found any details on it. I think that kit's actually been made, and like a local, maybe an amateur team or something, is wearing it in Bolivia, which is I quite like that as an end to the story.
I like that.
It looks great. It's a really, really good kit. It was a great design anyway, but the way they've actually put it into action is fantastic. So good for them. That's good for them and good for Angelo. Very, very happy for him. The other trend this year, and I don't know whether this is a good thing or a bad thing.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Keen to hear your opinion of it. Half and half scarves, they seem to be more prominent than they've ever been before. Have you got any thoughts on that?
Only insofar as they don't make me want to sort of vomit badly. I don't love them. My view on them is purely that they should be, if they're going to be made at all and sold at all, they should be done so. They should be sold to commemorate specific important games. Like if it's a European Cup final, or if it's a if it's an important game, you may want to buy a scarf like that to take it home and put away in your drawer as a memento of the occasion, in much the same way as in the past we've sort of bought match day programs and that sort of thing. Fine, but because of the proliferation of them these days, seemingly, and the fact that they're being made for every single, well, certainly I think in the Premier League, there can't be many Premier League games go by every weekend without a half and half scarf being made for West Bromwich Albion against Bournemouth and stuff like that, and a date on it. I mean, like, for heaven's sake, I mean, that is completely going beyond the pale there. And that's what I have a bit of an issue with. It's just like but it's a natural progression in the development of the game, where this is the point in time we're at now. It's like people have seen that there is a sort of certain saleability to them as a commemorative souvenir. So, well, why don't we just make them all the time then? And that's when they've sort of lost, whoever's making them has kind of lost where they can be considered something worthwhile. And I don't know to what extent people buy them, in what numbers or whatever. I can't think that there's many people that buy them. Fundamentally, half and half scarves, I think, are harmless. But I kind of think now that people have just run with it a bit too far, it's got to the point where a lot of them are just meaningless now. Why bother going to the trouble of making them for an unimportant game? Sorry to pick out those two clubs earlier on, by the way. I mean no harm to the fans of West Bromwich Albion and Bournemouth, but you get my point, hopefully.
Yeah, well, you'd hope that fans of West Brom wouldn't really want to remember a game against Bournemouth that much, that they'd want a scarf souvenir, and vice versa as well. So,
for heaven's sakes, if you want to do that, I mean, it's just
exactly
cheaper.
I don't know. Well, that's interesting. Is it cheaper? I don't know.
I'd like to think in my mind it's cheaper.
Yeah. I've actually got one of these scarves because I'm going to condemn, football today is terrible, but I actually support three football clubs. So I don't know. I don't know if I have moral high ground in this situation, but I am, I'm a fan of Olympique de Marseille, and there are reasons for all this, so don't condemn me, but Olympique de Marseille, Celtic and Liverpool, and to what extent I'm a fan of any of them is debatable, but I have a Liverpool played Marseille a few seasons, well, they played them twice over a couple of seasons, I think, and I did get a commemorative scarf. This was an official one that Liverpool was selling. This wasn't like a stall outside the ground, and I bought it, and I like wearing it with a Celtic shirt, so then I can display my affection and affiliation for all three clubs all at once. Mm-hmm. And it's quite a sight, as you can imagine. wearing.
Just to there is maximise the animosity that people have towards you. Yes, that's very noble.
Yeah.
Yes,
my trolling of people takes many, many forms. The thing is, with a lot of clubs, like Celtic as an example, they do have affiliations with other clubs. So if you're looking at a Celtic crowd, you will see people wearing, not so much shirts, but they will be wearing sometimes scarves of St. Pauli and clubs like that. There is a tie-in with other clubs there. So maybe half and half scarves for that reason isn't so bad. But yeah, there's been a Manchester United, Manchester City half and half scarf, that I think maybe this season or last season or something, and that really, really shouldn't be happening. The Daily Mash actually wrote an article about half and half scarves and half and half shirts. It used to be a website called For Club and Country, I think, and that used to, as a service, you could send in two shirts, so your club shirt and your international shirt, and they'd stitch them two together, so you had a combined shirt. But I don't think they're going anymore. But
they do surprise me.
Yeah. The Daily Mash had an article recently where they said that with technology, and maybe this is something we'll see in 2016, depending on who scored the last goals, fans in the ground, their shirt will change, so it'll start out as a half and half shirt, and then when a team scores, it'll be all of the colour of that shirt, and then when the other team equalises, back to half and half, and if they take the lead, it goes to the other team's colours. We'll wait and see on that. We'll see if that comes to fruition. Hopefully it will. Yeah, so that's half and half scars. That's a depressing thing to look at, maybe. Not
happy New Year, everyone.
Yeah, not football going in the right direction there. But the latest one was as a scarf for a one-off occasion. Chelsea played Man United the other night, and there was a seller outside the ground who was selling Manchester United scarves with Jose Mourinho's face on them. That's particularly respectful to the current Manchester United manager, Louis van Gaal. The other thing we've seen, and it's just something I'd just like to put out there and people can come to their own conclusions, we've seen a lot of players wearing, over the last 18 months to 2 years, seen a lot of players wearing rainbow laces on their boots.
Yeah.
And this is, put simply, there are gay footballers, but we don't know who they are. Not that we've necessarily got a right to know who they are, but it seems as though the environment is one of homophobia. So we're trying to move football out of that area into being accepting of different orientations and so forth.
Sure, yeah.
So this is a great thing. Although Paddy Power being involved, I'm not so sure, but Paddy Power and Stonewall came together and they've provided footballers with these rainbow laces, which I don't know if there's a particular weekend every season where they're worn, but or certain players wear them, I don't know. The only thing is, the latest thing is that Adidas have released a laceless boot, and they're releasing a whole range of laceless boots. Now, I don't know if the two things are connected, but the conclusion could be drawn that Adidas are homophobic. What do you think?
If that's what you want to believe, I'll back you up on that. I might need to see further evidence, but you may be onto something there.
I wonder if you'll be backing me up in court.
From this distance, I'll be here in New Zealand if you need me.
Indeed. Okay, so the main thing we'll pass on that. The main thing that happened for me in 2015. Was the greatest football shirt ever, which Chris was involved with, I was involved with, John Devlin was involved with, and the aforementioned Rich Johnson was involved with, on the Football Attic website, which is sadly, whilst still present on the internet, is not going to be updated anymore. Is that right, Chris?
Well, yes, sadly, yes. After 4 years, we sort of decided to bring it to an end, really, and it's very sad. Who knows if we may get to the point where in a few years time or something we kind of get the itch that we want to scratch and we need to sort of get back to doing it again. Who knows, but for the time being at least it's come to an end, and purely just because, as much as anything, it's I for speaking personally, I mean I wrote hundreds of blog posts on football nostalgia, which is sort of one of my great passions in life. And I suppose, understandably, after that long and having written that many articles, you find that repetition starts creeping in and you're looking for new ways of talking about the same sort of things. And at that point, I think you do have to then say, do we carry on and maybe allow interest in the site to kind of drop away or end while you're somewhere near the top? And I think we sort of chose to do that. And hopefully, I mean, as you say, the website's still there, so people can still read the old articles, and hopefully they'll be of some use and, you know, be entertaining and informative for people. Yeah, it's a shame, really. But I think I speak on behalf of Richard as well when I say thoroughly enjoyed it as a project, because so many people enjoyed reading about and talking about football nostalgia. So yeah, there it is.
Yeah, it's a fantastic website, and everyone should go and check it out. Has it still got that random search thing on it?
Yes, it's the Football Attic Randomizer. You can sort of click on it and it'll bring up one of the old articles plucked at random, just as sometimes you might get something good, sometimes not so good. But it's a nice little sort of thing we thought we'd add on there. We added it a while back, yeah.
Yeah, everyone should use that. That's fantastic. So if you don't know what to look for, just click that. And if you don't like what comes up first, which is unlikely, because you're probably the first thing that comes up, you'll probably read. But if you don't like that, then just click again and you'll get something very, very soon that you do like, I'm sure. Great site. And this year, as I mentioned, we did the 50 greatest football shirts ever. And it was very enjoyable. And I'm glad it's there. I'm proud of it. it's...
You sound unsure, if you don't mind my saying.
Well,
that.
I am proud of it. If I have a regret, I look through it and I just think we didn't put in a sash shirt. Now, really, all bases were covered, and so every sort of design feature basically was covered in there, one way or another, or could be argued was covered in there. But I don't think there was a sash shirt really in there, and really, it should have been. Do you think?
Yes and no. Well, the classic is Peru. Everyone was saying, why haven't you got a Peru kit in your top 50? And I can kind of get what they mean. I mean, but as we said countless times during the feature, we weren't going on something because it was a classic or iconic design. It had to be more than that. It had to have some element of invention about it, or it had to be original or something like that. And so I think that's why Peru... There's some lovely Peru shirts, don't get me wrong, but felt that there wasn't one that particularly stood out. And I think the other thing as well for me was that, as we've seen in the last few years, at least in England, with club shirts and things, that Adidas and, is it Macron or somebody? There's been a few different manufacturers attempting the diagonal sash on the shirts. And I just wonder whether subconsciously we were finding that maybe we were reaching sort of, not a saturation point, but maybe we were getting affected subconsciously by the fact that there were so many diagonal sashes around that we were trying to somehow sort of steer clear of them. Hopefully that wasn't the case, but that might have been possibly what was going on there. But yeah, there have been some fantastic diagonal sash shirts. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think what we shouldn't do is argue with the process, because the process was perfect. You can't argue with that. There is... it got there because it got there, and it's just when you look at it in hindsight, you go, "Oh, it would have been nice if one had made it in," but it wasn't. It wasn't a decision we took. It was just through the very, very convoluted process we got to narrowing it down to 50 shirts. You laugh because when I say convoluted process, I mean almost killing each other. We got to those 50 shirts. So if a sash shirt didn't get in there, that's because it did warrant being included in that based on the system we had in place. But the influence of that list is something else that makes me proud, because Birmingham, after we included I don't know what year, but I won't put you on the spot, 70 sometime.
74 or something, yes.
Yeah, the Birmingham City German flag away shirt, which hadn't been seen for
77 or something, was it the last time they, or 76, so, something like that.
Yeah, so you're looking heading towards 40 years. 40 years.
suddenly re-emerged.
It suddenly re-emerged. Yeah, Birmingham are wearing that kit. Now, I will mention base layers because they're wearing a black base layer with it, when surely if there was ever a time where you needed to have an alternate sleeve base layer, it's with that shirt. So, to have
absolutely
what would yes. what is it black on this is the trouble I had when we did the podcast is I couldn't remember the order of the German flag. It's okay. black sleeve, one black sleeve and one yellow sleeve, is that right?
That's right, yeah, absolutely,
yeah, okay, so that's what it should have, and it does have it on the shirt, but the base layers, they're just wearing black base layers with it, which is very, very disappointing. But the great influence there. And Adidas have released a whole range of stuff which refers to our number one shirt, the West Germany 88 and 1991, whenever it is, the ribbon band thing shirt. So if you go onto the Adidas website, you'll see, I think it's a lot of it's in the sale now. But they released a load of stuff. So yeah, we were responsible for that as well, I think.
And we claimed that. Yeah, we're having that one. And I mean, all joking aside, I mean, I couldn't help but sort of feel, particularly in the case of that second example you just gave there, that we, if nothing else, we provided the extra sort of nudge to Adidas to sort of say, you realise you're sitting on an iconic design, don't you? And maybe you could be doing something with that, because it was just, that can't be coincidence that all came out as straight afterwards. But I was particularly gratified. I can remember the day waking up and somebody tweeting me and saying, "Have you seen this?" And it was the new Birmingham, Germany shirt that they. I was like, "That's ridiculous, because we've all decided that design will never be seen again." And yet here we are, literally minutes after talking about it on a podcast, and thought, "Well, there's influence for you."
I dispute that, Chris. If you, and everyone should listen back, but if you listen to the podcast where that shirt is mentioned, there's me very, very clearly stating it's about time they brought that shirt back.
Oh, so, I was more than happy to say, if they did bring it back, I'd be perfectly happy if they did. That's for sure. It is a fantastic design. So I mean, I'm just trying to think what other things we had in our top 50 that were, maybe could still yet happen. I mean, I don't know. It's just just briefly to talk about that. I just wanted to sort of say that it was a wonderful project to be involved with, in the sense that it gave all four of us the chance to reevaluate shirts that maybe we completely dismissed in the past. In the process of honing the list down to 50, we all at some point persuaded somebody else in the group that a particular shirt was great, when maybe in the past we thought it was really poor, and so for no other reason I thought it was a really worthwhile exercise. And then you put it out there and you publish it and the whole world seemingly sees it, and of course then the whole dialogue then just gets magnified by seemingly 1,000 times, and you get random people from South America emailing you saying you know nothing and stuff like that, and just generally sort of saying like, why have you not included a kit from some obscure second division Peruvian team, and which you have to deal with all that, but the fact that it gets everybody talking, or it got so many people talking, was wonderful. It was a really, I'm incredibly proud of that project, and talk about a labour of love, but hopefully people will find it in the future, and they'll be able to read the articles, and they too will get their own new evaluation of a particular shirt.
Yeah, I think we should probably bring this mutual backslapping to a close, but I think I would, even if it had been a group of four other people completely not known to me, we put that list together because it hadn't really been done in that depth before, with actually people trying to analyse it to an extent where it wasn't just the usual suspects being added in each time, and okay, so another Peru shirt. So although it sounds like we deliberately didn't include a Peru shirt for that reason, it just didn't make it in, so sorry about that. But it was because we put so much effort and put forward our own choices and argued over our own choices and voted on our choices, and that's how it got to where it got. And we obviously wrote reams on each shirt trying to justify its position in the 50 as well. So it was something I enjoyed writing about, enjoyed reading everyone else's articles as well, because it was a collaborative effort. And if I didn't know anyone involved, and I'd still enjoy reading it, I would hope. And I'm glad it exists. The reason why we did it is because it didn't exist. No one else did it, so we had to do it. That's what it comes down to in the end.
And I still maintain, I sincerely, genuinely hope other people will try and attempt to do the same thing. This isn't me leading up to so that I can then criticise their decisions or their selections. Genuinely, I really would love it if one day I go online and I find that somebody else is doing the same thing, because it's all about opinions and it's all about trying to, you know, tell people about the virtues of kit design, because it's got so many different sort of permutations and so many different people can design a kit in a different way or a shirt in a different way, and all those designs can be interpreted in different ways. So why not, you know, I invite anybody to do their own, whether it's on their own or with a group of people, do your own sort of top 50, because that's the interesting thing, reading other people's opinions and learning new stuff.
No, they shouldn't do that, because they're never going to better ours.
As long as you call it something else.
It'll be a thankless task, and it'll be a fool's errand. So don't bother doing that. We are the best.
Yeah, all right then.
No. If people want to do that, then I would definitely read it, and I'll be fascinated to read it, as I would have been if it had been done before we did it. So, and we would have had to retaliate anyway. So if someone else had done that project, which we did get a little bit worried because we left it so long before we actually went through and did it, I was terrified that someone else was going to do exactly that. And it didn't happen. We managed to get in there before anyone else did, really. Or anyone of any note, let's say. A project of any note, because most of the others are not great.
No. But it's if we wanted to, we could spin it off into, you know, we sort of joked about this before, but we could do, you know, best goalkeeper kits, best away kits, and all sorts. So there's plenty of potential. If we ever feel like, you know, murdering each other again, then we can, and just take a different angle on the whole thing. But that's for another time, maybe.
Yeah, I do want to do that, though. I do want it. And the goalkeeper shirts, away kits, base layers. Oh, it'd just be fantastic. Anyway, we should move on. That is more or less everything I wanted to discuss with you about 2015, and a little bit of a look to what might come in the future. Was there anything else that we haven't covered, Chris?
No, not at all. I think, you know, pretty much everything that was on my list has been covered. So it's just to say thanks for having me on the podcast and to be able to talk about all that stuff. It's been fantastic.
I've very much enjoyed you being here, and thank you for coming on. Projects will emerge from Chris, I'm sure. But if you want to talk to him about anything, at Chris Oakley on Twitter, it really is as simple as that. So give him a shout and he'll discuss anything that we've talked about today or anything about life in general. Is that a service you provide, Chris?
It's a service I've provided in the past free of charge, and I can't claim to be very good at it, but, you know, if you've got personal problems, you know, what can I say? There's always Jay's Twitter account as well. If I can't help you, then he can.
Yeah, you don't want to come to me for help on anything. But if you want to talk to me, that's fine. I didn't actually introduce myself at the beginning of this podcast. So who is this bloke? Well, I am Jay. I blog on designfootball.com. So you can read that if you want to read that. And as Chris says, I am on Twitter. My Twitter handle is J29ers. Design Football is on Twitter as well, which is Design Football, surprisingly enough, and we're on Facebook, designfootball.com on Facebook, so if you want to like us on there, and you'll be kept up to date with whatever's going on the website. So that's been fantastic. Thank you again, Chris.
Thank you.
Please, everyone, go to the website, check out what's going on there. We have had some problems over Christmas, but hopefully by the time you hear this, they'll all be resolved. Have a very happy new year, and we'll speak to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.